for Licking on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. Now, here's your host of Licking on Lending, David Licking.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. It's Monday. Remember that Robin Williams, we said, yeah, welcome to Vietnam. Remember that show? What was that? It was such a good movie. I love that.
Good morning. Good morning, Vietnam.
Good morning.
Good morning, man.
Good morning, Vietnam. I feel like Robin Williams on the DJ here with us. But anyway, it's Monday, March 18th. We're so glad to have you here. This podcast is created by some mortgage professionals. Yeah, you can go light on the mortgage professionals when you have Kittle in the room. But anyway, it's created by mortgage professionals for mortgage professionals. And we're so grateful to have you as our listener. Again, our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. We have so much fun on this podcast, and we get so much feedback from so many of you. So grateful to have you here and sharing this around. Again, got a bunch of emails this morning from some TMC members. We got the TMC conference coming up. We'll be in Louisville. Bull. I got to get this right. I always get correct on it. Louisville. Anyway, Louisville will be in there and a week from today at the TMC conference. And I wish I could get in to celebrate Kittle's birthday on Saturday, but going to be in there Sunday. See all of you that are listeners, TMC members. Of course, we have L1 members and all the members of the industry. Thank you so much. Again, we got Mark Helm joining in. He's the co-host. Mark, good to have you joining in. Let's also cover the sponsorship along with some of our other sponsors. I want to say a big thank you to Byte Software. What they do and they bring to the industry, again, one of the most cost-effective solutions that can be used from startup all the way through to your growth to the biggest enterprise companies out there. Some of the biggest ones like CMG use it. Also, we did an interview with Aaron D. of Loan People. Listen to that. By the way, Aaron and Loan People are members of TMC, and Aaron and her partner are speaking at TMC in one of the breakout sessions. That'll be good. The topic we released was mortgage technology benefits to lenders. How do you benefit from it? Talks obviously is centric around Byte, but it's got some great information in there about startups, how to start a company. Aaron, her business partner, started this company. Great information in there. Also, Finastra, setting the custom decisioning parameters to help you streamline the approval process while keeping your lending team compliant and efficient. Those two important words. Also, Total Expert. So grateful for our relationship with Total Expert. They're a leading fintech company that is way more than a software company. They're a true partner. They have purpose-built CRMs and a custom engagement platform. I encourage you to check out. Listen to the podcast I did with Dan Cantinelli and Melissa Wright, Navigating Through Continued Heightened Rate Environment. We released back in November. It's still very applicable, especially when you see what's going on with the markets. Also, Lender Homepage, connect, convert, and close more loans through the power of AI, the digital platform that empowers loan officers to connect with more ideal clients. Cut through the clutter, get to the ideal client. Check out the interview we did and released on December 12th. On December 12th with Rocky and Quay. Great interview. Also, then True. So grateful for them and their partnership with us. We'll be seeing them. We saw them at Lail One. We'll be seeing them at the TMC conference as well. Looking forward to it. Great stuff. Reduce your cost for employment and income and verifications by as much as 90%. Maybe it's 80%. It's a lot. Save money. Also, check out the interview we did with Richard Greiser, November 29th. Also, Angel AI, changing the way mortgage lending is done in the truest form at the core way. Major stuff going on there. Mortgage Bankers Association, love them, what they're doing, as well as Lender One, the Mortgage Collaborative, which we've talked a lot about here, Mobility MMI, Modix, Knowledge Coop, and iEmergent. We could go on and on, but man, we've got some big things to be talking about in the industry. We released on Friday Lender Price interview with DeWar, and a great interview that we had with him was released on Friday. Check it out. You're looking for an alternative to the market leader out there. Check them out. Also, this week on Wednesday, we'll be releasing a podcast with Bruce Pulver, an interview I did, Importance of Words. I recorded this one because how are you speaking? What's coming out of your mouth? How are you talking? And This is a great podcast. The importance of words. Keep them positive. Keep them looking forward. Speak the desired result. Big shout out to our regulars, Adam DeSanctis, Les Parker, Matt Graham, David Kittle live with us today, Alice Alvey live with us today, Alan Pollock, and Bill Corbett. And again, I mentioned earlier, my co-host, Mark Helm. I want to call your attention to something that I'm going to put in our show notes. It's the Inman article. It's a link in the website. You'll see a link to the Inman article that features a podcast with James Dwiggins of Next Home, CEO. And he's talking about the $480 million NAR settlement. We're going to talk a little bit about that in just a minute. But folks, listen to that interview on his podcast that's in the link. It's so important. We've had James. He has the right perspective on it. Let's get over to Adam DeSanctis with this week's MBA Mortgage Minute. Adam?
Hi, I'm Adam DeSanctis. This is the Mortgage Minute, the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, in advance of a Senate Banking Committee hearing on housing policy, MBA led a diverse coalition of 22 industry trade groups, consumer and housing advocates, and individual mortgage lenders in penning a letter to the chairs and ranking members of the House Financial Services and Senate Banking Committees, urging them to support and mark up the Home Buyers Privacy Protection Act. These two identical bipartisan bills were introduced in the House and Senate within the past few months and would restrict the use of mortgage credit trigger leads to limited circumstances during a real estate transaction. The large and diverse coalition of groups signing the letter underscores the broad-based support and increasingly urgent need for these congressional authorizing committees to act to curb trigger leads abuses. MBA will continue to call on the House and Senate to pass this MBA-supported legislation as soon as possible. That's it for this week. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, MBA. Thank you, Adam DeSanctis, for your contributions each and every week to the podcast. Good stuff. Yeah, those trigger leads, big issue. Alice, love to get your thoughts and comment on that when you come up on your segment. Let's get over to Les Parker's TM Spotlight. By the way, MBA, we always encourage you to sign up for Mortgage Action Alliance app. You can do that. It's so important that you do to have your voice heard and support the MBA and what they're trying to do on the Hill. So get your app, make your cut words and thoughts known. Now, TM Spotlight. With the macro view of the markets with Les Parker. I always enjoy his parodies. What is he at for us today, Les?
Hello, I'm Jerome Cash.
TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by PowerSeller, making hedging easy.
I hear inflation coming, it's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the tumbling since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Biden's prison. Inflation dragging on.
Biden pushes on demand with old-fashioned Democrat economic policies, constraining commerce and unconstrained spending. Adding in Yellen's global minimum corporate tax releases inflation that is beyond transitory, according to repentant Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. As a result, Powell will not ease as quickly as the market wants, but he will give it QT relief.
Far from Folsom Prison, that's where Jay wants to stay. So he'll blow the QT whistle, blow our blues away.
These views are mine.
Jerome Cash.
Get out of jail free at tmspotlight.com.
Oh, Parker, I think that may be my favorite one. Watching Kittle's expressions on this is just absolutely priceless. Alice was singing with me on it, and I had to mute out my mic because I was laughing so hard. Oh, my gosh, that has got so much good information on it and so accurate. So much thought on that.
Still laughing at the line, I'm stuck in Biden's prison.
That's exactly where, that's where we got the thumbs up, Alice. You're right. Kittle's giving thumbs up on the video here. We got to share this video. Ben, you're going to have to start sharing the video part on YouTube for those who want to come and watch us having fun on this. It's so much fun. Last week, we had Kittle on with his aviation glasses and his aviation headset. We missed that as well. Not doing that today. But anyway, we're going to get on. We're going to listen to Matt Graham. But anyway, sign up for Les Parker's newsletter. You can read it. You don't have to listen to him sing, although it is really good when he does sing. But sign up for Les' newsletter. You can get the paid version for free by putting the word power for PowerSeller in the sign-up code. Les Parker, good job. Yeah. I don't like the thoughts. We're going to talk about the markets, but we're going to listen to Matt Graham's first comments first. So let's get over to Matt Graham, founder, CEO of MBS Live. And he's here with a pre-recorded market update. And let's hear what you got for us, Matt.
This is Matt Graham with the MBS Live Market Update. Last week was pretty brutal for the bond market, at least in the smaller picture, with both of the key inflation reports coming in higher than expected. That began with CPI, the Consumer Price Index, on Tuesday morning. It came in at 0.4 versus 0.3 at the core level, and that is the one that we would like to see averaging out at roughly 0.17. One saving grace for that report was the owner equivalent rent component, which is a big piece of core services inflation, did not rise as fast as it did in the previous month. And in the previous month, it had caused quite a bit of concern about inflation persistence. Unfortunately, that was offset by other parts of the report, but the fact that OER came in lower than expected helped the bond market have a little bit of a less bad reaction than it otherwise may have. Nonetheless, bonds continued to sell off in the following days. Wednesday wasn't quite as bad as Tuesday, but then Thursday was significantly worse on a combination of economic reports, including producer prices. That's inflation at the wholesale level, and it came in at 0.3 versus 0.2 at the core level. And headline producer prices came in at 0.6 versus 0.3. The net effect is not a good one for the bond market. These reports were in a position to sort of change the tone back in a more rate-friendly direction ahead of this week's Fed announcement. Instead, they sent a message that the Fed will most certainly continue to be on hold when it comes to considering potential rate cuts in 2024. Recall that going into 2024, in the December 13th meeting, they had penciled in 3 rate cuts for this year. The market quickly traded that up to 6 rate cuts, and then everybody started talking about that. But ever since then, the data has said not so fast, Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve has generally agreed that they will not be moving so fast in recent speeches. We haven't gotten to hear from them for 11 days now, 10 days. And that is normal in the lead up to an announcement. There's a 12-day blackout period, and it will be very telling to see how the dot plot has changed from December 13th to now based on the recent economic data. 3 rate cuts for this year will probably be smaller, probably 2 rate cuts, maybe even 1, depending on which Fed member's dot you're focusing on. But it's all about the median, of course, when it comes to reporting it. So we would expect that to be less than 3 rate cuts now. The market would expect that as well. So that means if the dots move in that direction, it won't necessarily be catastrophic for bonds. In fact, if the dots don't move as much as the average market participant is expecting, it could even be good for bonds. The statement itself, less eventful, and there is no chance of a rate cut, clearly, at this particular meeting. Other than that, press conference will probably be a good one to listen to this time because it will give Powell a chance to talk about how the psychology might be changing before we get to see the influx of Fed speeches in the next few weeks. In terms of other economic data this week, there isn't much to focus on other than the Fed announcement on Wednesday afternoon. There's a series of housing reports, which are always relatively interesting to the housing market, just not very big bond market movers. Building permits and housing starts come out tomorrow. We had builder confidence already today at 51 versus 48. Then on Thursday morning, we have existing home sales forecast to come in just under 4 million yet again. And that would do it for this week's major housing-related economic reports. From a tactical standpoint, bonds are pushing up against a 4.32% ceiling in 10-year yields. It seems like a bit of a showdown at that level with the Fed announcement determining whether it will be viewed as a supportive bounce or a negative breakout. That's going to do it for this week. Back to you.
Good job. I'm looking at the screens right now and looking at where we're backing up to. And then the thoughts of not having 3, but down to 2. This is pretty big. So, Bill, let's start with you and get some comments on this report. And then, of course, Parker locked in Biden prison. I love that. Still chuckling over that.
So before we start diving into the relevant world of treasuries and mortgages, especially with Easter right around the corner, I think everybody should be paying attention to the price of chocolate, which is up 200% year to date.
Are you serious?
Those sticker shock for those chocolate bunnies. And you wonder why the consumer is not giving the administration all the pats on the back that they seem to think they should be getting. Obviously, cocoa is not a major component, but I think it's one, it's interesting, again, given the time of year, but it's also relevant to a lot of other things that are going on out there. I think, so the first thing is we've dealt with the battle between the Fed and their pace of expected cuts and what the market was expecting. And a lot of what we've seen in rates to me is the market is moving back to where the Fed was. And I say was because I think the Fed may be moving further away from even what they've been telegraphing over the last 60 to 90 days. To me now, three cuts may be on the high side of the range versus, you know, 60 days ago, that was probably the middle of the range.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true. Mr. Kittle, commentary.
Here's the conundrum, which I don't like the word for the Fed now, because they haven't controlled inflation at all. And if they stay true to their word, that that's their mission, they're staying true and not lowering rates. What if we only get one cut? Or what if inflation doesn't subside at all?
Yeah.
And there are no.
And there are no cuts. Zero cuts. Exactly right.
So it comes back to what I've been saying the past few weeks. Quit worrying about interest rates.
Yes.
They're going to be whatever they are. You still have to do business and somebody has to buy a home.
That's all
right. I would be concerned right now and compartmentalize interest rates and be more concerned around the NAR settlement.
Mm-hmm.
Which impacts our
that, and we're going to get to that right now, because in just a moment here, I want to stay on the rate topic at this point. And both you and Alice have been speaking about the most important thing is just get out and provide your value. Talk about where you're at. The markets, what can you control, listener? Can you control interest rates?
No.
That's a rhetorical question. No. So what are you going to do? Are you going to sit and wring your hands about what you can't control, or are you going to go out and do something about what you can control? That's why this podcast we're releasing this week is your mouth. It's so important that you speak right words so that you get this right, straightened out, so you're going in the right direction. Anyway, I want to talk about, or any more, Mark, you're able to dial in. Thank you for joining us. And any thoughts about the rate structure? Any reflection you have for us there?
I came off mute early enough. Yeah.
I agree with everything Bill and Mr. Kittle said. I agree 100%. I want to add a little bit of color to something. I was listening to a radio program, and I heard some numbers that blew me away, and I'm planning on reaching out to Matt.
Are you going to give a chocolate color index? Are you going to start with chocolate?
No, I'm going to handle that in just a second, but I'm going to talk a little bit about something else right before that, and then I'll lead right into that. But I'm going to talk out to Matt later today to make sure I'm looking the right place for these numbers. But I heard these on a radio broadcast, and anytime that could happen, numbers can be ambiguous. But I heard numbers that kind of blew me away. So the three numbers I heard, and I remembered them, because they hit me so solid. What is the median income of all employed females in this country? Now, I don't know the definition of employed, but that number is $32,000. What is the median income of all males employed in this country? $42,000. What is the median income of the top 10% of earners in our country? I was blown away on this. It's $170,000. So I am convinced those are the people buying all the chocolate. So I'll add that back in. Okay. But the reason why I bring this up, I was really surprised at the lower median incomes, because we got a lot in that female and male thing. We got a lot of single parents in there trying to make a go. Yeah. And $32,000 just doesn't get it and get base housing and other needs and things. We need to be concerned about that. But I am convinced, and I think the other gentleman will agree with me, the only thing that's going to make a change of rate before the end of this year is going to be politics. And it'll be tied to the election. It always is. We always have it. and we're going to have it again. So I don't think we'll have a bunch of decreases in rates. I think we'll have maybe one, but I think it'll be so closely tied to the election date, it'll just put a stamp on it that it's political. So we'll see how that goes. But I don't see any things changing. And you're right, David. The individuals out there, we can't control what's happening to rates. I will tell you, in my relationship with all the banks I know recently, they are all taking the most conservative posture, and I'd like everybody to chime in on this, that I've seen in the last 10 or 15 years in the industry.
Would anybody disagree with me? When you say conservative underwriting standards, Mark, or program?
Lending, general underwriting standard, but lending, warehouse lines, everything. All across the board, especially they're leery about the warehouse lines in the mortgage industry right now. But I've just never heard such critical conservative talk about lending. And I'm hearing from banks these days, and I'm talking to banks as well as everybody else on this phone call is, at all different sizes. And I'm hearing it at all levels.
I think Basel III, their changes in Basel III are one of the things that are driving people to be conservative. What is going to be the regulatory environment we're in, and how are banks going to be held? What financial platform or accounting standards are they going to be held to with the changes of Basel III? And Bob Brooksman said it so well when he was speaking in LA. I talked about this last week at the Lenders One conference. He said, why is it that we're requiring U.S. banks and our financial markets here, which has MSRs in them, which Europe does not have, why do we have a Basel III influencing or putting the influence that it does on our current regulatory environment as far as capital requirements? It doesn't make sense. I know why we're trying to attract foreign capital, because we need it in our bond markets. We need it in to finance our national debt. So we understand that we want to go as much to what they require from accountability and regulatory environment when it comes to capital requirements, as much as possible alignment with what's going on in Europe. But it is not. And it's got the potential. And when you have that kind of environment, Mark, you're going to drive bankers to more, let's wait and see, let's get more conservative. But bankers need this. They need income. They have got to have income. So I think I remain overall optimistic about the general direction of credit availability. Certainly warehouse lenders are going to be impacted by some of the rulings that are out there. So, Mark, anything you want to add to that? All right, you're muted out if you're marking.
I think you hit the nail on the head, David. So I guess we're always are. We'll just have to wait and see.
It's like everything else, wait and see. Alice, love to get your commentary on the markets. And I want to then go over to, we have two other things I want to talk about before we go into your segment, Alice, and that is the NAR. And I want to get into the cost origination, the latest MBA report that came out. But on the mortgage rates, Alice, anything you have to add? Love what you said before. Go out and sell what you got.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I think my mortgage radar, right? You guys have this. You've been in the business for so long. I've been doing this for 40 years. And when you take a step back and you look at the pattern that we're seeing in the economy, I'm not an economist, I am no expert, but it is hard to see that there will be any rate drop this year, other than, as Mark said, if it's done for political reasons, because the numbers would already have to be there for it to happen in even Q3, right? Dave's agreeing with me. I love it. I'm so happy when we're on the same page. But, and it's one of those things, you know, you're like, why are people still talking about it? Because they're afraid of the consequences. They're afraid of the consequences in the stock market. And so the dialogue is still out there instead of just saying it like it is. And you know what? You guys said it. Just work with what the rates are today. We have to focus on the housing shortage, not rates.
Yeah, very good. Anyone notice there's a different sound to Alice's voice? Where's your Blue Yeti? Where's your microphone?
I don't have it today.
Oh my God, you're missing that wonderful musical quality. Okay, Kittle, what you got? Come on, jump on. You had something else.
A myriad of things. I'll just bullet for you, David. I agree, especially if rates go down. I've always said it's political because it's an election year. If you get one, Alice just made a fantastic point.
Yes.
We would already have to be in a subdued declining inflation mode for it to come out in the third quarter for them to do anything with it. And so it just boldens up my point go do loans. However,
do loans what we got.
If we're talking about the impact on first-time home buyers, we still have an inventory problem.
Yeah.
And it was announced today, think about this, we went to $35 trillion in debt today.
Wow.
Okay. So the administration can't come out and flood the economy with cash again, because that would drive inflation up. We don't have it. It would drive up the deficit even more. And he won't make, Biden, the necessary choices around energy, okay, which controls everything, food prices and all that, that he needs to make us energy independent anymore. So he's in a box that's got tape on it and he can't get out.
Yeah. It's got double stick tape. It's really, anyway, I could go on and on with the metaphors on that. Good point. Excellent. We've got so much we're dealing with, folks. And like what we have been saying, Allison Kittle been saying this for some time. And I'm not being disrespectful, I say Kittle. We have Dave Lickin, we have David Kittle. So we go by Lickin and Kittle around here. So that's how it works. Anyway, so not being disrespectful. The reality is what Kittle and Allison have been saying is go sell what you got. And that's the most important thing you do. And here's the thing for those, and let the others out there be the naysayers, because it's those that take hold of what we have and do something with it that are going to be the ones that are going to prosper in this market. What's really interesting, I want to move over. You're talking about, Mark, you said something about warehouse lenders. Something that was really interesting, and I won't name the warehouse lender, but I was talking to a prominent warehouse lender at the Lenders One conference that we had last week. And she said that what's really interesting is the higher net worth companies, 80% of them are losing money. What's interesting is this particular institution, warehouse lender, banks the smaller net worth individuals, the emerging mortgage bankers, the guys that are starting with $250,000 up to $1 million. They consider those the smaller guys. It's interesting. Only 25% of them are losing money. The big guys that have all this cash are losing buku money. 80% of them, and this new crop of new lenders coming into the market representing 25%, only 25% of them are losing money. What does that tell you? When you have little, you very careful with what you spend. You're careful about what you're doing and how you're going about managing your business. If you got a lot, you think you can just go ahead and not structure things. We're in for a longer haul at low these rate levels. And I'm challenging every business owner, start looking at your cost to originate, which opens the door to the next topic. The MBA on Friday published what the losses, average losses were for the fourth quarter. We have now had seven quarterly back-to-back losses. And that's amongst, I think it was 378 independent IMB mortgage lenders. So that's the average. That is very representative, I think, of the market where it's at. It's a very good survey. And it shows that, again, $2,103, I think is the number was. I don't have the exact number. I've got the graph up here so I can look at it. That is lost. So we have had a significant, again, jump again, not quite to the highest level where the was a 460. Bips and then 426 bips in cost. We're at 407 bips on our operational costs, fully loaded production expenses. Now, half of that is originations. The other half, of course, assuming you could make the calculation on that, half of that is where we only have had 334 basis points in production revenue. What's interesting is steadily going up, except for Q1 of 2023, we had 358. It fell to 328. 329, 334. So we're watching revenue continue inch way up. What we are not addressing as an industry is our cost structure. You have got to deal with cost structure out there. So I don't want to get on my thump statement, but talking about cost, you represent a lot within TMC. Thoughts on the latest MBA numbers, basis point?
I don't know. It's never about the money, David. It's always about the money, right? So...
Yeah, but it's cost. You've got the collabs, you've got all these lenders in your group. If some of them are fairly substantial net worth, maybe they're an anomaly in the group and out there. But I remember at Lenders One, a lot of the IMB said, no, we too are losing money. And when the ones that are on the line or close to break even, they're counting in and rolling in their servicing. I'm looking at what we need to do is what I'm a strong advocate for is when you look at your cost to originate loan, or your near net profits, do not factor in servicing. You should not factor in. Yes, it's there, and yes, it helps, but it obscures the losses you're having on your operation. Your servicing should be pure gravy. Yes, Mr. Kittle.
So I only say this. It's the elephant in the room. Somebody said this. This is not my line, but somebody's going to have to be the first penguin in the pool, and they're going to have to address LO comp, period.
Yes. Yep.
Other than title insurance, it's the biggest cost out there in the mortgage loan transaction.
Yeah, look at that. That's exactly right. Bill, come on, give us some thoughts on the cost structure. What you got for us? You gave us the chocolate index. Now, what other revelation do you have for us?
So I'm in complete agreement with Mr. Kittle, right? At some point, you have to address the largest expense out there. And it's going to be hard. But if you don't tackle that, I'm not sure how you're going to change the dynamic, because the only other way to do it is to significantly grow the revenue side. And again, everybody's business plan for the year is it's a declining market, but I'm going to get a bigger share of the pie. At some point, you have to acknowledge that's not working.
Yep. Yeah, but here's the problem that exists. It's a real problem for any business owner. Who's going to be the first penguin into the pool, to use the comment that Kittle made, is who's the first penguin in the pool? Because when you have people out there still paying sign-on bonuses for people that are doing substandard volumes of level, that is insane. And until that insanity stops, we're going to be stuck with this. No one's going to jump in there. There's a bunch of penguins running up and down on the iceberg, but no one's going to jump in the water because they don't want to lose the few loan officers they have and that are in the market. So it's a conundrum. So the only thing we can focus on is cost. Mark, let you jump in on this. By the way, where Mark's finding his mute button, Mark is back in running a company. If you haven't seen it on LinkedIn, you'll see that he's the CEO of a CIS out in Hamilton, Alabama. So it's good to have you taking time.
It's an interesting experience, I have to say.
Back in the saddle. Experience. Yeah.
Yep, it is. But these people are well worth it. I don't mind investing the time, because we're investing in people's futures and a community's future. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
I got a very good feeling about this. I guess the thing that I look at in our day-to-day business, and you're talking to the warehouse bank lady, and she's talking about who's making money and who's not making money. This little company I'm at right now, we lost like 8 of 10 managers in 2 weeks, okay? And startling realization, we haven't missed a beat since then.
Right.
What's that tell my comrades on the phone? It tells me that in middle America and in small mortgage companies, just like big mortgage companies, we got a lot of people at the top making a lot of money, and people are failing to reduce costs and control costs like they should in companies. Now, that's not going to solve all the problems, but it's going to get the delta closer. And I advise all the people in the business, I don't want to have people unemployed because of this conversation I'm having today, but the reality is, you need to keep the company employed for as many people as you can. You can't keep people hired just to keep them hired if you're running your company in the ground. And the management of these mortgage companies have to make hard decisions and the right decisions to grow their mortgage companies, support the communities they're in by hiring people there, just like I am, keeping the people on board that you need to do the job. And if you lose people because they're scared the company's going to close or whatever, good luck on them finding a job, because it's not out there right now. So I think it's one of those long words that Mr. Kittle used that I really don't know how to deal with, other than the fact that treat it day to day and manage it day to day and stay on top of it. And I challenge all my counter CEOs and presidents of companies across the country to do the same. You got to look out tomorrow by doing today. And if you don't do today, you're not going to have it tomorrow. I'm going to quote that in the book, by the way.
That's right. I know you're writing it. You're writing another book. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry, Mark. Were you making another comment? I didn't want to speak over you.
I was asking Mr. Kittle for his opinion.
Oh.
Spot on. Yeah. How can you argue with that? And by the way, you didn't hear me say this a few minutes ago, Mark. Nobody better than you to step in down there for that company. Congratulations. And congratulations. them.
I wake up every day and wondering if I'm the right person, though, I'm telling you.
You are, Mark. You are. I would love to make some comments on air about that situation, but we won't. And I can't because of the circumstances around that. But it's admirable that you took on this cause. And the owners are so fortunate to have you running that situation down there. I was going to say something about an S show, but I'm not going to go there. Anyway, it is really outstanding what you're doing, Mark. Thank you for your leadership and the commitment to people in this industry. I think it really comes down to this, folks. We have got to care about we got to find out, number one, what we're about. What are we about? What are you about in this industry? What do you care about? And what we should be all caring about is getting as many people into homes responsibly as we can and keep our current companies alive as healthy as we can. That is going to cost, if we are on this current new trajectory, no fewer rate cuts, maybe no rate cuts. We are in a situation where some more people have to go out of our industry. It breaks my heart to say that, but it is what it is. There is no going back. That's, I think, Bill said this on our consultants call on Friday. Corbett said, there's no going back. We need to find a new way forward. That's such a brilliant statement. What's happening? All right, let's move on to the NAR, the big rock that came into the water. The NAR did their settlement on this. I have had as a guest on this podcast, James DeWiggins, the CEO of Next Home. That is a real estate franchise. He's been the one I respect the most that's been on this topic and talking about it and providing good direction and a way forward. We have a link to that interview in our show notes. I encourage you listeners to go to the show notes, listen to the latest podcast, or if you just want to go Google James DeWiggins, DeWiggins, and then or look at the latest Inman article, you'll see it. And DeWiggins does a great job of outlining it. He and his partner do this podcast, but they're interviewing someone who's it's very informative. Here's the net takeaway from this thing that I'm seeing. And I said this on our call Friday. At the end, there's going to be a lot's going to change, but nothing's going to change. A lot's going to change in the fact that we have got the real estate industry is going to have to become better at selling their services for what they do. And they're going to have to be able to justify, as someone who is the seller's agent, the buyer's agent, the person that is actually bringing the buyer to the table, is going to have to do a much better job. And there's going to be a lot of more flexibility about what they provide. Who's going to pay for it? How that's going to be happening? It's very clear that what the settlement says, and what DOJ was pushing for, and there can be no provision for a buyer's agent commission, and that's going to have to be set up separately. How that's going to fall out, I think at the end of the day, I think a good listing agent's going to say, what? I think there's room for and there's need for, if you're selling your home, do you want to get the greatest amount of market present, we need to factor in the compensation for that. So it'll be separate and negotiated where it was assumed and understood previously. So at the end of the day, I am of the camp, and I've thought about this. I got challenged on it on our consultants call. We have a group of consultants around TMS. We get together on a Friday call. It's Friday morning, late morning, and we have a really good call. And I was challenged on it. Les Parker actually called me out afterwards and says, Dave, I'm concerned about your opinion that this isn't going to really change anything. I think it's going to have a huge change. And I think it comes back to, here's the opportunity for you mortgage bankers listening to this. And I'd love to get your comments on this, Alice, David, Bill, and Mark. What this creates is a huge opportunity for us as mortgage lenders to come alongside of the realtors out there who are looking at this in shock and awe. There is a shock and awe factor going on. And we bring leadership to them. And we say what you can do to sell your services effectively. It creates an opportunity for us. And I think we will see a number of realtors that were part-time workers. They may stick around to do a few transactions. I don't know if that's going to wash them out. But this is going to be the game advantage is going to go a lot more to those who are much more professional and really skilled at selling their services as realtors. So that's my thump, my two cents on it. I still maintain that, yes, it's going to have a big change, but at the end, after it's all settling out, there will be a listing agent and there will be a buyer's agent and how that all gets worked out. Alice, any thoughts? We talked about this a little bit last week. You've been studying this. You said we got on before we launched the podcast. You said you've been reading and listening to a lot. I'm really interested in what your thoughts are.
I've been listening to all the opinions that are out there. It was interesting because the New York Times published this and floated it almost like a pre-story to lay out the, like they do in Washington in general, right? Leak it first and get that PR rolling. But the, I heard a couple of interesting things. I'm going to give the gentleman credit when I listen to his video. Jack Gately, he's a realtor on Online Realty Academy.
Yes.
And he brought up a point. So he was dissecting the 108-page document, and he brought up what he thinks is a little bit of a loophole in there. Not a big one, but just the sense that if I am the listing buyer's agent, if it's my NMLS, my listing, then I can show the fee. So the write-up is all about you can't show the fee anywhere. He goes through a descriptive piece to show here's where in this isolated instance you could show the fee. And then there's ways that third parties could scrape that data and still have it be out in the market. So I think it's not going to have the impact on house prices in most markets that people are putting in the headlines, I think, just to grab a headline. So there's a lot here to unpack because it's not going to change supply and demand. And that's what's impacting pricing, right? We do have to watch for what kind of forms might come out of this. They'll be training people, have to go through. Who knows if it'll happen by July, like they're saying, because there's a lot to come. And I think the most important piece is this is not approved by a judge yet. And DOJ is really a separate track. This is just that one lawsuit. So more to come. I'll let the others chime in. But I wanted to give a point out really that good. One item that was a little different.
Yep. Good job. Bill, any comments? Then over to you, David, then Mark.
I guess the first thing is it's a big unknown right there. There are a lot of different folks, a lot of different ideas on how this is going to play out. But as we talked about, Dave, last week, that you're not going to be able to put the genie back in the bottle and things are going to change and things are going to change iteratively. So whatever the first reaction, how things play out probably is not how it ultimately settles. And it's a big unknown to me at this point, but strap in because if July is serious, it's not that far away.
No. It's right here, right around the corner. Very good. Mark, any thoughts?
Yeah, I got a couple. Mr. Kittle will enjoy this because I'm going to do a sports analogy. I compare this to all in college sports and the transfer portal, and they let the genie out of the bottle, and it went rampant. And it's been probably one of the worst things, in my opinion, the way it happened to happen to college football, because it's not, it's depending on people to have to do extra things to equitably distributed among all the players. And it's just a joke right now. And I still believe to this day, that's one of the main reasons that Nick Saban left Alabama, because how big a debacle it's turned into. That being said, I agree with Bill 100%. We've let the genie out of the bottle. It's amazing to me how we can have something in this industry that works for as many years as it works. I've been in this industry 46 years and the commission structure has been the same the whole time in real estate, other than the fact we had some real estate agents in the last 5 to 10 years start cutting the overall commission down to 5% to give people a break to get in a house. And we didn't have that. We didn't have that prior to that time. I don't think I didn't see that much of it. So it's a wait and see. I don't feel good about it, but it's out of the bottle. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. It is so true. Mr. Kittle's correcting me on Realtor. Realtor. Thank you. I always put an A in there. I get corrected by different ones. Realtor. I always put the A in there. It's been 50 years of doing that, so I don't know that we're going to change it, Kittle. So I don't know what to say about that. Let's go in. And Alice Alvey, can he be here? It's taking a long time to get the update. But Alice, we had some big things going on we want to comment on, but I want to get your legislative update. What you have for us?
That was it. I wanted to make sure we had enough time to talk about the NAR settlement. So you all heard everyone's thoughts on it today. If you're a realtor out there and you want to know what do I tell my customers today, nothing changed as of today. I think Bill and Mark said it. This is a wait and see to see what really is going to pan out in the markets. You heard from the MBA update that the trigger leads, it hasn't moved. I want to make sure that's clear. MBA put together a letter to go out. It's important that enough information is constantly pushed to Congress so it stays on the top of the pile. So nothing has moved yet, but we'll continue to watch for that. And then the housing piece that I talked about last show, President Biden has put that in the 2025 budget request for the $10 billion. But then there is now bill. It was reintroduced, Senate Bill 3930, the Down Payment Towards Equity Act. This is trying for $100 billion in the down payment assistance in the grants to first-generation home buyers. After hearing the $3 trillion mark, that's where I'm not sure where we're getting that money from. So those are just a few bills out there that are the legislation for the 100 down payment assistance. That's not going to get anywhere before the end of this year. That's what I have for you today, Dave.
Good. Thank you so much, Alice. Appreciate it. Let's see here. Mr. Kittle, any thoughts that you have? We've got a lot of your great thoughts today. I'm looking at the clock. I want to get over to Alan Pollock's segment. Alan can't join us live, but always interested in what he has from the tech segment. But one, open up any space. Any final thought or any thoughts you have, Mr. Kittle? And thank you for correcting me on Realtor. I get emails regularly. Licking, how long you been in the industry? You still can't pronounce the name Realtor? And I'm going, yeah, okay. So once, I got one of those hard drives, write once, read thereafter only, read only thereafter. So,
it's only because I love you, Dave. I just wanted
to. I know. So, unfortunately, some of the comments I'm getting are not, there's no love in it. You're an idiot. I get some really really strong.
Here's what I would add to this is that as an industry, and I'm sure the realtors want it as well, but to help the consumer, we've got to get to uniform disclosures and documents all the way across the country.
Yeah, all the way across the board. That's really good.
Because the sales go back and forth across country. They don't just stay in the one state. What Alice said is right. Mark, Bill, everybody's got their opinion on here, and it's right. And you collectively, if you put all this together, that's what's got to happen going around this. And to Alice's point, this hasn't been signed off yet.
No, so, I mean, that's really important to know.
But we've got to get together as an industry and put together uniform education for the consumer.
Right. Okay. The whole other topic around this is, will NAR survive? The National Association of Realtors survive? They've got so many systemic problems in there. When they look at the inappropriate, the sexual harassment suits that are going on inside there, and you look at the leadership, it's just, there's so many systemic problems inside of National Association of Realtors. If you're not familiar with, that's another subtopic. It's just a cesspool of debauchery that was going on within that organization. So I want to get over to our tech update, everybody. So here's Alan Pollock. Thank you, Alan, for submitting the update.
Hey, David, thank you and good to be here. I am pre-recorded. I've got a couple topics I'd love to discuss with the group. So we will, I'll tee them off today, but we'll chat about them for next week. All right. So David, are you ready to go to Flavortown? Well, if you love watching Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives, and you're on your next road trip, you'll want to look at this app. Started by Guy Fieri. It's 15 years of his visiting all these different places and eating great food. And you can download, it's called the Triple D app. And you can locate, and no matter where you are on your journey, you can locate any of those places. And what's pretty cool is that there's somewhere almost everywhere that you can find. I did check it out. But more importantly, the reason I mention this is that if you're on phone calls, instead of by the time everybody joins that Zoom call and you're talking about the weather and what you did for the weekend, this is just something different to talk about. Whether you do your research, if it's a client and you kind of look for places near them, if you're going to be sending them a gift card or you want to take them out, check this app out. Again, it is the Triple D app, and there's 15 years worth of that TV show's locations that you can easily find. All right, let's talk about some mortgage stuff. So David, Be Smarty, we haven't talked about them in a while. I know a couple folks over there, great company. Well, they just integrated with Poly, which is fantastic. Poly, as everyone knows, is an upcoming pricing engine. You can check that out. I know that we have the Encompass experience, I think, this week, or the ICE Mortgage experience this week. And I'm sure that those folks are all there talking about it. There's also, by the way, if you were to Google mortgage news and put in ICE, all the folks that have press releases up into this conference, you'll be able to see all of them online. There's a whole bunch of cool stuff going on, different people that have integrated. I mentioned Be Smarty and Poly because I think there is a movement going on right now with PPEs being able to have the right flexibility and the turn time that those PPEs make in order to implement those changes that everybody needs based on the different investors you have and how quickly the market moves. That's been a struggle for some in the past, so please check that out. I know Poly is one of the new up-and-coming pricing engines. There's a few others as well. And some of the other ones have also made changes. And by the way, if you're not sure if your PPE can handle that, agility, fast changes, margin customizations, feel free to ask them. They may have updates and features that you're not aware of. All right, David, let's talk about Ask Max. So Maxwell, their business intelligence platform, and what they have has made a press release, and what they've said is that they empower users with instant, easily understandable responses to industry and company data inquiries. So get this. Whether you need insight into top loan officers, app volumes, processor efficiency, expiring locks, or pull-through rates, Ask Max delivers actionable intelligence at your convenience. So what does that mean for the layman? It means that because they're connected to the LOS and loans, the application volume is flowing through the point of sale, their business intelligence platform is constantly taking data from the LOS on each loan transaction from the point of sale, and they're giving you the ability to include LOS efficiency information into their BI solution. And they've added a chatbot to it. So check it out. Ask Max. Pretty cool. Again, that's Maxwell Business Intelligence. Now, David, I thought this was pretty cool. Next topic. So Tavant, we've talked about them a few times over the years. Well, they just received, so Jen, I'm reading it off of their press release. And by the way, the press releases, we laugh at this all the time in our industry. Sometimes there have so many adjectives and words in them. So just kind of skimming through it for everybody here. They announced today their AI-powered touchless lending automation. So that's a big one. Has been selected as the best digital mortgage product in the 8th annual FinTech Breakthrough Awards program that was conducted by FinTech Breakthrough. And if you haven't heard about FinTech Breakthrough, and I did a little bit of research, they've evaluated more than 4,000 FinTech award nominations. And in the 8th round, Tavant received best digital mortgage product. So that's fantastic. Hats off. Congrats to them. I know they have a large team and they spend a lot of time and money on innovating for our industry. So you may want to take a look at that. And, you know, David, moving on to different news, what's really interesting is there's news about automated underwriting all over. Everybody's working on some type of AI solution. The press releases have AI everywhere. Websites have AI everywhere. What we should note is that it's really interesting how people are trying to build AI solutions. Some are doing a good job. I know you know of a few, and our audience knows of a few. Some are building it where you still have to talk to a machine. They haven't perfected the way that a human would interact and communicate with technology. And by the way, those are university courses nowadays, not just for UI and UX design. That's why it's not just user interface. It's actually user interface and user experience design. But also, because of the need to actually interact with that technology. So anyways, as you're looking at all the AI stuff out there, and one of the topics I want to talk to this group about next week has to do with usability, user experience. How do we connect with technology? How do we talk with technology? I've worked on some projects in that area, some very large projects in that area. We can talk about those, but it's a great topic for next week. So let's just quickly talk about a great article as my last item today. National Mortgage News, the article is called What Happens in a Cyber Attack. And wow, I know we've talked about this, but if you are not focused, and remember, if you're a lender, you're still a technology company. If you are not focused on tightening up and making sure your vendors and your vendor due diligence process, which has to occur yearly or all the time based on how many vendors you have, is not secure and you're not verifying their security, you could land in some hot water. Let me just tell you, in the last year, okay, Loan Depot and Mr. Cooper, not only are they reeling financially from those recent incidents, and they're battling lawsuits as well beyond the incidents. What's interesting is that there have been multiple hacks, things that could have been avoided based on better training, better security responses, and better details. But listen to this. So not only are the hackers using what's called generative artificial intelligence to create more compelling ways to connect with people, they're also using the dark web. They're using ransomware attacks. They're holding hostage sensitive data. Did you know that Flagstar paid $1 million in Bitcoin ransom in late 2021 to unidentified criminals in order for them to delete the stolen data. I'm going to repeat that. Flagstar paid 1 million Bitcoin, so 1 million in Bitcoin, as a ransom payment to unidentified criminals in order to delete unauthorized data that they had access to delete that data and make it go away. That happens more than you would know. And in addition to that, when you look at how some of these hacks occurred, there's impersonation, there's fake emails, there are people posing, pretending to be somebody, they're using AI. So we have to really be careful and really look at what our employees think is a good email, a bad email, how they interpret phone calls, how they interpret information, when you really share information. It should be a topic, David, that everyone should be focused on. We could talk about some more ways, things that you can do, and maybe some folks you can talk to if you want to get buttoned up in this area. And we can do that with user experience next week. Otherwise, everyone, I hope you have a great week. Thank you for listening. And you know how to get a hold of me. It is Allen, A-L-L-E-N, at tms-advisors.com. Thank you.
Good job. Appreciate you, Allen, for turning in that report. One thing I would say, Mitch Kreider did a great presentation about the regulatory environment when it comes to emails, email marketing, really important one. We're going to reach out to Mitch. In fact, Mitch is a good friend, so we're reaching out to him and have him on the podcast talk about some of that stuff. Allen, thank you for your report. Thank you all for being here and listening to the podcast, sharing it. We had a lot of fun again. We always have fun when we do this podcast, don't we, Mark? It's just always a joy to have it. And then we loved giving Mr. Kittle a bad time, but it is always a joy and a delight to have you here.
Mark, David, every week I learn something new, and I hope the listeners do too. It's just amazing.
Yep. Mr. Kittle, final thoughts. Be a TMC. Celebrate your birthday party Saturday on the Bourbon Tour if you want to join Fly In Early.
Yeah, see, well, you got to be here Friday night because we're leaving early Saturday morning.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, well, and so on Sunday, we got a great lineup, tons of education. You need to be here. So thanks for that.
Good stuff. It'll be a great conference, and looks forward to seeing you again. And maybe I'll pronounce Realtor correctly, like I will learn to pronounce Louisville correctly. So by the time
we're hopeful.
We're hopeful. 73. Don't hold your breath. I'm trying. I'm doing my best. All right, everyone. Have a great week. Look forward to seeing you back here next week. Be sure to share this podcast. And then be sure to get out and thank our sponsors, Byte Software, Banastra, Total Expert, Lender Homepage, Truve, Angel AI, the MBA, Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, Mobility MMI, Modix, Knowledge Group, and iEmergence. So grateful to have all of them as sponsors. Get out there and say thank you to them if you run into them. I appreciate you. Share the podcast. Have a great rest of the week and look forward to seeing you back here next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week and thanks for listening.